Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It's Wednesday, August 12th, 2015. I'm here in Clearwater, Florida. And today we're going to be talking about pH, which is an interesting and important thing for everybody to understand because it affects how our bodies utilize nutrients. It affects how our bodies detox. And we're going to be hearing about that with my guest, Pamela Seefeld, who's on every other Wednesday. But before I introduce Pamela, I just want to tell all of you something that's going on in my life personally. And I am telling you this because I want you to all take it to heart what I'm about to say. A friend of mine was admitted to the hospital on Monday. I took him to the hospital. And he's being diagnosed probably today, but it looks like that it's cancer. And he has cancer in an area of his body that doesn't usually develop cancer. And so it's likely, although it hasn't been diagnosed yet, it's likely he has cancer in some other area of his body and it's gone to this other area. But here's the thing. He does absolutely nothing, even though he knows me, and I talk about this all the time. He does absolutely nothing to prevent exposure to the chemicals that cause cancer. He does a little bit about his diet. He exercises a lot, which is a good thing, but he's exposed all the time to chemicals that cause cancer. And the thing about this is that we don't have, nobody has to get cancer. There is so much that's known about cancer, the chemicals that cause it. In fact, I'm talking with a doctor who's probably going to be coming on. We haven't set the date yet, but I'm trying to get her to come because all she does is look for the toxic chemicals that cause cancer. And so we'll be talking about that. But even without that show, even if she doesn't come on the show, there are books that tell you these are the chemicals that cause cancer. You can go to my website and you can find products that do not contain these chemicals. There's no reason why anybody has to have cancer. And so when I see people around me, and it's not just my friend, within the past couple of weeks, I was talking to a guest who's been on the show about something else entirely. And at the end of the conversation, she says, I just have to ask you, I was just diagnosed with breast cancer. What can I do? And so all of you who do not have cancer right now and whose loved ones do not have cancer right now, make sure that you do the things that we're talking about on this show. Eat the right foods, detox your body, get the chemicals out of your houses, get the chemicals out of your workplaces, and do not get cancer in the first place. I'm going to get off my soapbox now. Hi, Pamela.
Hey, Deborah. I'm sorry about your friend. I hope everything works out okay.
I'm hoping so, too. It's just right now it's unknown because we're still waiting to hear the severity of the situation, and then we'll have to figure out what we can do. Anyway, and I'll be talking to you about that.
Yeah, I see a lot of cancer patients, and I definitely can help that individual. There are homeopathic things that work very, very well that can pull out cancer cells that regular chemotherapy might not be able to target.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Good. So, and maybe in the future, maybe you and I will do a show about cancer, and you can tell all of us.
I think that's a good idea. No, absolutely, because it's timely. One in four people during their lifetime is going to have some kind of cancer, so it's a pretty prevalent thing.
Well, let's do it. We had scheduled another topic for 2 weeks from now, but let's do it 2 weeks from now.
Okay.
And then we'll just push everything else back.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. I'll take a deep breath now.
I know.
Yeah. So Pamela, what I did was that I went through all your back shows and I read all the transcripts. Well, I didn't read all them. I searched all your transcripts for anything that you've said about pH in the past. So let's start in the first segment. I know you have a lot of information about pH and why it's important. But then when we get to the second and third and fourth segments, I want to tell you things I found that you said in the past, and let's talk about those three areas in more detail. Okay, good. So why don't you start by telling us what is pH?
Okay, that's good. So pH, it's a figure expressing acidity or alkalinity of a solution, and it's on a logarithmic scale. So 7 is considered neutral. Anything above that is considered basic, and anything below that is considered more acidic. So most of the time, and I'm just kind of giving a good reference point, water. We all drink water. Most water that you're going to get out of the tap or bottled water is probably going to be pH between let's say 4.5 to 7.58, maybe something like that, okay, unless you're drinking alkaline water itself. I've actually tested some bottled waters, and Dasani actually is extremely acidic. I'm not sure exactly what's in there, but it could test out to a pH of almost like 1 or 2. So you have to really kind of know what you're drinking, even if you think you're drinking something that's pretty safe. There's a lot of acidity in some of the water products.
And that's going to be one of my questions we're going to talk about later.
Yeah, it's important to test it. And you know that you can do it. You can get a pool kit. We have a little kit that we use with the Alkalife drops. They're not that expensive. You can test the pH of whatever water you're drinking. It's probably a good idea. It's just a reference point, especially if you're going to be using any kind of pH boosters. But the thing that's important about pH, now that we understand this scale, is that there's different relationships between what you're eating and the pH of these products and how it affects your bone health, cancer, and a lot of different things. So I went through the last National Library of Medicine, and I looked for the most recent medical articles that pertain to pH, and I was really actually pleasantly surprised, because pH is really a subject that in the chemistry realm we talk about pH and the pH of drugs and vitamins and so forth, and that's kind of the pharmacy background that I pertain to. But I was really surprised, pleasantly surprised, that there's so many articles that show about what foods you eat, certain things in your diet, what you're doing, affecting your pH and your general health. And that was very, very important to me, to find something that has some scientific background that shows that what we're talking about has a lot of relevance. So I've just picked up some different studies. There's one study that just was recently published, okay, and they were investigating the relationship between your urine pH, okay, which is directly related to what you're consuming, and the contribution of fruits and vegetables. Okay, so higher fruits and vegetable intake and lower consumption of meat translated into a more alkaline pH. And so we hear a lot of alternative practitioners talking about, you know, eating vegetables, cutting back on red meat, things like that, infecting pH. But there's actually scientific proof that that's true. That's not some sort of a made-up situation. So that's more effective than we were prone to think in the past. So dietary determinants of bone health also include micronutrients and bioactives found in fruits and vegetables. So the pH is definitely affecting bone density, and the reason why is because of, first of all, the micronutrients in the food, but also the outcome of the more basic pH as a result. So this weather study that I looked at, increasing to 9 or more servings of fruit and vegetables for 5 days a week, the net endogenous acid production, that's the amount that your body actually makes, decreases significantly. So statistically significant, mean urine pH, meaning the average, increased by 0.68%, and midlife women, so we're talking about women, you know, in menopause years, pH increased bone density. So this is really important, and I'm still a really big fan of even using a pH booster, because you can be eating a very vegetarian-type diet, and still maybe your pH is not up as much as you want. And it just depends on stress levels, cortisol, a lot of other things affect your pH. So I like Alkalife. That's the one that I use the most. I've tried several different ones, and that one seems to go to the highest. When you use Alkalife, 10 drops a day, and you place it into your water bottle, that pH of that water will test out to 13. So that's the highest end of the pH scale. And there are lots of alkalizing systems that people use in their house or buy alkaline water. A lot of those systems go to 9 or 10. So sometimes I like to go to 13, and then the drops are inexpensive, and they last probably 6 months, like $25. So it's an inexpensive way to modify what you're eating as well.
So are there ways, you mentioned how you could test the pH of the water. Are there ways to test pH in your body so that you can see
pH,
the correspondence?
That's a good question. Your pH, the things you would have to test is the pH of your urine and the pH of the water you're drinking. That's also probably the most indicative. Your pH of your blood and your body itself, your body's going to maintain this neutral pH. And how it does that is by taking calcium out of the bones if you're too acidic. Okay, calcium's a big buffer. It changes the pH, makes it more basic. Electrolytes as well.
Okay, good. When we need to go to break, and when we come back, I want you to tell us what we can do so we can test our bodies before we talk about anything else. Okay, you're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Pamela Seafelt. She's a registered pharmacist who prefers to dispense medicinal plants and other natural substances instead of prescription drugs. And you can go to her website, Botanic botanicalresource.com and find out more. And we'll come back and talk more about pH. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Pamela Seafelt. She's a registered pharmacist who prefers to dispense medicinal plants and other natural substances instead of prescription drugs. Pamela, before we go on, why don't you tell people how they can get a free consultation with you?
Okay, great. So you can call me here at my pharmacy. It's a free consultation. And the number here is 727-442-4955. That's 727-442-4955, and I would be greatly honored to help you and your family with any of your health care needs that you might have, and also for your animals, too.
And she's really good. Everybody around here that I've ever talked to has said how wonderful she is, and our local MDs, my MD, I told him I was taking something that Pamela gave me, and he said, just do what Pamela tells you to do. So she's very highly regarded here. So now tell us what we can do to measure the pH in our body so that as we're doing different things to improve our pH, we can see if we're making progress.
Okay, good. So they actually sell urine pH test kits, and I've just checked it on the computer. I mean, you can go and get just, you know, the regular strips from the pool store, or you can actually order a kit, and they actually have these kits that you can test it. What's important to realize is that everyone has a baseline. Your blood itself, and this is what we see in the hospital, when someone comes in and maybe they've been hyperventilating, maybe they're septic, they're very sick, they have an infection all through their body, these people, their acid-base balance is going to be off, and it'll show up. And how they measure that most of the time is with the arterial blood gases. You can tell what's going on with the person if they're too acidic, or just specifically from that. So a regular person walking around won't have that issue. There's not going to be any of that, okay? Unless they're very sick, maybe they have bad COPD. Like I said, respiratory issues, because when you're blowing off carbon dioxide and you're breathing in oxygen, that exchange, if someone's doing it rapidly or if it's too shallow, or the person's not breathing at all, of course it's going to change the pH of the body. Okay, so that's in those realms. But most people aren't going to have a problem with that. What we see, though, is that the things you are eating and taking the pH drops to boost it are going to have this long-term effect. And the most specifically, I'd like to really emphasize that it's looking that it's going to help build bone density more than anything. And that's there's lots of different things, and we can talk about detoxing as well, but bone density is very important. So the things you're eating, say you're taking a calcium supplement and you're eating pretty well, a pH booster, and I've done this quite a bit with people, can reverse osteopenia and osteoporosis, just doing that, because a lot of the calcium, like I said, if a person's diet is primarily acidic foods, then what you're going to have is calcium coming out into the bloodstream. And I see this a lot. I can always tell when somebody is eating all meat. You know, these people that are on these Atkins diets, and that's all they eat is protein at every meal. Right. They don't eat any vegetables. Their calcium levels always come back like around 10, 10.5, really high. And so I've seen even these people that go and they're going to the kidney doctor, and I'm like, look, if you're eating meat all day long, this is what your body's going to have. The body has to adjust its pH, and all this calcium is leaving the bones, and these people are going to end up with very, very brittle bones. And so I don't recommend these all protein diets. If you're doing it for a short term, for some fast weight loss, that's okay, but for a long-term diet, it's very, very dangerous.
Well, calcium was one of the things that one of my three questions that you had talked about before. We did a whole show on calcium, and you said where is it? I didn't highlight it, but it was, you were talking about taking the alkaline supplement, so that the alkaline booster, so that it would work better.
Correct.
And so I guess my question was, does that hold true for any supplement, that if you're taking supplements of any kind, if you take a pH adjuster, that they'll become incorporated better?
Actually, that's an excellent question. And from what I'm seeing from the research, that the micronutrients, let's say that the micronutrients in the vegetables, if you're having a multivitamin, let's say like a green multivitamin, you know, whole food, you're doing the same thing whether you're having a big salad or you're taking it in a pill, right? Okay, it's the micronutrients that you're getting. You know, you're getting the B vitamins, all these different things we get from our food. We get in supplements, and we take them sometimes in single amounts, depending on what we want to take, vitamin E, a multivitamin that has the whole array of these things. And Yes, that will affect that, because what we're seeing is that the micronutrients and the bioactives that are found in fruits and vegetables or in your vitamins that you're taking, okay, these components have enhanced bioavailability into the body when a more alkaline pH is present in the body, and that's really important. In fact, I even found something you're talking about, diet-induced generation of acidity, okay, so what is your diet give you a more acidic outcome in your body, and a lot of it was determined by the metabolism of proteins, okay? And these proteins, of course, these amino acids, specifically methionine and cysteine, are amino acids found in proteins that you eat, and I thought it was pretty interesting that this metabolism or the oxidation of it in the body is what directly leads to an acidic pH. So, you know, eating meat, and I'm not against meat. I eat a lot of turkey and chicken. This is directly involved, and apparently a lot of this happens directly in the intestine. So that can really affect the acidity of your body. So pH drops are really a good way to say, okay, I'm going to start preserving some bone health. And also, too, I like to bring up the point that there was some interesting information that I found in some of the studies about talking about kidney stones, okay? And kidney stones is really, it's related to pH, and you'll see kind of where I'm going with this. Kidney stones are highly dependent on dietary acid load, okay? So if you are taking acidic foods and your body is predominantly acidic, you're going to have more calcium stone disease. And why is that the case? Let's think about this, right? The calcium's not in the bones. It's coming out into the bloodstream. It's buffering in the bloodstream, and then it starts getting in because the person might be slightly dehydrated, it starts concentrating in the kidneys. Excess calcium. So the person that's eating protein at every meal and they're doing Atkins and they're not eating any vegetables because they're just trying to lose weight fast, what happens is they're concentrating these acidic components. Remember the protein, these amino acids causing all these problems, and then the calcium is another added problem that is coming out into the bloodstream. So you have the process of the oxidation of those amino acids causing more acidity, and then you have the problem where you're having concentrated more calcium shifting out into the bones. So the person's short-term acute effects are going to be a predominance of more formation of kidney stones, and the long-term effects, of course, are going to be severe bone loss. And the studies, you know, concur on this. This is what's really happening. Yeah. So the drops for being so inexpensive and just changing your diet slightly makes such a huge difference. I don't know why people wouldn't embrace this. I really don't.
Yeah. And yeah, especially, I mean, there's so much that says that an alkaline diet leads to more health. For your body to be more alkaline leads to better health. And for it to be more acid is contributing to disease. There's just a lot on that. So we'll talk more about this when we come back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. And my guest today is Pamela Seafeld. She's a registered pharmacist, but she prefers to work with natural substances. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Pamela Seafeld, registered pharmacist who likes to use natural remedies. And we're talking about pH because Pamela gives, I think everybody, everybody gets an alkaline booster?
Pretty much, yes. I think it's just really highly effective, and it's inexpensive. A lot of people will use these systems in their house. They're thousands of dollars. The drops are $25. It'll last you almost half a year. Yeah. I think it's just an easy, inexpensive way to just change your general health for the better.
Yeah, I think so, too. I've been taking them ever since I've known you. How long have I known you now? A year or something?
About
that. Yeah, I've been taking that, and as well as the other things that you've been giving me, and I totally agree. But I want to talk about water during this segment, because you talked a little bit about it in the beginning, and also you've talked about it in the past in another show. And I'll just repeat what you said, which was the normal pH of your water is going to be between 3.5 and 7.5,
right,
and that you've measured these things, and that you mentioned about bottled water, especially Dasani, and that you had tested and it turned out to be 1. And
correct.
Then in the other show, you said it's the same pH of Coke.
It is.
That just
floored me, because what I had done, and it's just for my own reference, I bought went to the grocery store and bought like 7 different kinds. And I came back here and I tested them all because I wanted to know. Because if I don't have a reference point, you know, people say, right, I'm drinking Zephyr Hills or I'm drinking Dansani or I'm drinking the vitamin water, whatever. I wanted to know. And the only way to know is just test it. And the fact that the Dansani has such an acidic pH, to me, I don't understand what's in the water, really. I don't know what they're, I think they're just bottling something right out of the tap.
Well, actually, I think they are. And that's part of the problem with most bottled waters is that the regulations are such, and the way things are in the bottled water industry is that some of it is coming out of a spring, some of it is coming, you know, deep underground or whatever, and a lot of it, especially if it's labeled drinking water and not spring water, they're supposed to label it as to the source, but instead of saying this is coming out of the tap, they call it drinking water.
Right, and I think it's misleading intentionally.
I think so too. And so consumers really need to watch out for this. And I thought it was really great that you measured the pH of all these waters, because it really shows the difference. And it's not, you can't just pick a bottle of water off the shelf and expect all of them to be the same, because they're not. They are very different in terms of what toxic chemicals might be in them, very different in their pH, very different from their, as to what their source is. So if you're going to drink a bottle of water, then do some research and get the best one that you can. I very rarely drink bottled water. And I'll just say that the water filter that I recommend that is always being advertised on the show, and I think the commercial's coming up, that it adjusts for the proper pH. So the pH of the water that comes out of this filter is actually the pH of water in the natural ecosystems of the earth. And so it's not the pH that comes out of a tap. It's the natural pH of water. And I'll just say that the prices are going up on this water filter on August 15th. So if you're interested in buying one, now is the time to buy one. So just listen up for the commercial.
Yeah, that's a really good point. The water filter that you use is going to make a huge difference as far as the quality of the water you're drinking.
Right.
Bar none. And the pH drops can only do so much. But it's, if you're at a situation where you're working someplace and you have to buy bottled water or the machine, pH drops are a really great way to inexpensively boost it up and try and get that acidity down and try and get it more alkaline. So right, it's really, and it's such a small bottle, you could even keep it in your purse and take it in the drinking water when you're out to dinner or whatever you want to do. You could always change the pH of the water and improve your overall health. Now, I wanted to ask you something. This is, you were talking about cancer, and I want to let you know that there was one study that I looked at that was just recently published about cancer and pH, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they had 142,000 men, and they had 335,000 women. This was in Europe, okay? And this is kind of interesting. They found a decreased risk of cancer associated with high vegetable intake. Intakes of fruits showed weaker associations for preventing cancer, but there was still some data. And I thought this was kind of interesting. They looked at different kinds of cancers, okay? Cancers of the upper GI were lessened with fruit intake, but not vegetables. And this is really strange stuff. Look at this. And risk of colorectal cancer was decreased with fruits, vegetables, and fiber. Liver cancer, total intake of fiber was the only statistical significant decrease of cancer. Liver cancer was fiber, only fiber. The other things did not pan out. And for lung cancer, with people that smoked, it seemed that there was decreased risk if they were eating fruit, but not vegetables. And then breast cancer, it was only fiber that seemed to be the direct correlation. And what was interesting, stomach cancer, biliary, pancreas, the cervix, endometrium, prostate, kidney, bladder, no association with fruit, vegetables, or fiber. And I'm not sure how to all interpret this, but I thought it was very, very interesting that in smokers, a person's lung cancer risk was greatly decreased with the fruit, but the vegetables had no significance. And what this kind of told me is that when you're eating lots of vegetables, you're getting a lot of fiber anyways, right? So your fiber is increased. So what does this mean? The bottom line is, and maybe if you think, well, I'm really at risk for liver cancer, that means I need more fiber. It really comes down to all of these things you're eating, the fiber, the vegetables, the fruit. These things are important components of a regular diet that can protect against these diseases.
Yes, exactly. So before we go to break, because it's coming up in about a minute and a half, I wanted to mention one more thing about water. And that is that you said in another show, you said, when you have dehydration, you become more acidic.
Correct. And the reason why that is because when dehydration sets in, you hemoconcentrate all these electrolytes. And what happens, too, is the body can start shifting calcium out as well, because when the acidity happens, that's when we were talking about this, the kidney stones and the prevalence for kidney stones. It's not just the fact that the person is concentrating the urine. It's also the fact that those particular amino acids that we were talking about in the change in the body, it's making the person more acidic. So yes, definitely being dehydrated is definitely a risk factor.
Yeah, it is. But the point I wanted to make is that, like, I do a lot of research about water. Water is a big subject for me, particularly because of the detox effects of water. But there's a wonderful book called Your Body's Many Cries for Water. And it talks about how everybody is like walking around in it being dehydrated all the time, and that we are not drinking enough water to
actually hydrate our
body.
I have 3 copies of it. I love it.
Yeah, I love that book. That's one of my favorite books of all time.
Me too.
Yeah, and so that's why I'm so interested that you said when you're dehydrated, you become more acidic, because the fact that people aren't drinking enough water is making their bodies more acidic on a daily basis. And that's leading to ill health. Just that thing right there, whether it's pH, alkaline, or acid, just the fact that you're not drinking water makes it become more acidic. So listen up for this water filter commercial and get one before August 15th while the price is still low. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Pamela Seafelt, and we're talking about pH. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Pamela Seafelt. And we're talking about pH, which is the acidity or alkalinity of your body and how that affects your health and how your body functions. So, Pamela, there was another show where you said that the pH balance makes a big difference in the way heavy metals are released out of the body with detox products.
Correct.
So let's talk about that some more.
Okay, that's good. So say that we're kind of going back to your friend that's got the cancer. It's really important to be using the body anew, and the pH drops. I can't emphasize that enough. That those things are really important. Now, when you use a pH booster and you change the pH of the water to 13, when you have your detox product in there, you are going to find that the metals are going to be released better. And what I can say is it works as well is if you're doing the pH drops and you're sweating. So, I mean, I have a sauna in my house, but even if we can walk outside and do some yard work in Florida, and we can have the sauna right there in our backyard.
Living in Florida is living in a sauna.
It is. So, I mean, just go out, walk, get the mail, and come back, and you're going to sweat. So, and all kidding aside, the sweating process, a lot of the heavy metals come out and through the skin. And so the sweating process is important not only from an anti-aging standpoint, but to release toxins out of the body. And the pH change, making something basic and using the body anew. And I would say, too, we were talking about the different things like fiber, vegetables, or fruits, and which cancers seem to be affected most. It's important if you have a high risk for cancer and you are removing metals out of the body, what you really want to do is you want to be using the biogallium phase in there as well, because that pulls out cancer. And so put it on the water.
Pardon? The what? There was a word I missed.
Yeah, it's called biogallium phase.
And how do you spell that? Bio?
B-I-O-G-A-L-L-I-U-M.
Okay.
And then the second word is phase. And the biogallium phase is something that when you take it with the detox and the pH drops, you're going to specifically have this removal of cancerous cells. And gallium has been studied quite a lot in the homeopathic realm. And the biogallium phase is a DES bioproduct. It's developed by physicians. And that's pretty much part of the basic, and we'll talk about that more when we talk about cancer, but that will go and scavenge the body for cancer cells and start removing them out. And I've seen some pretty miraculous stuff, especially even if somebody has like a tumor underneath the skin where you actually can see it dissolving. But it's important to realize that doing the pH at the same time as doing the detox product And if you're really, like, my clients that smoke, which of course I don't advocate that, but if they're going to smoke and they're not going to quit, I tell them just to put the biogallium phase in their water every day, and it'll take your risk down significantly.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing. Okay, so those were all my questions about pH. I think I understand a lot better now. So we still have about 5 minutes left. So is there anything else you'd like to say about? Go ahead.
Okay, so what I would like to say is that you're talking about your risk factors, and we were talking a lot about dietary influences and micronutrients and how these things, you know, affect the body and change the pH of the body in a favorable way. And I just think that the opening lines and comments that you were making at the beginning of the show, talking about that we kind of take our health for granted and maybe we're exercise and eat well, but we're not doing any kind of a detox product on a daily basis. If you're not, you're really missing something very important. And why I believe that is because if you look at, I think of myself, I have like properties and stuff. I have insurance for everything, right? I have insurance. You have health insurance. You got property insurance. You got liability insurance. I got an umbrella policy. I got insurance on everything, right? But really, the best insurance policy you can take out is your health.
Yes.
Because all this other stuff's really not going to matter if you're sick. And doing a detox product on a daily basis, and I know for myself, the Body Anew, I've been on that almost 17 years probably. I kind of lost count. And I think just using a really low dose of, obviously if the person is sick, they would probably want to use a higher dose of it and use the real dose, but using a smaller dose on a daily basis is just going to gradually be pulling these things out. And not only that, just you're talking about heavy metals, but I think removal of mercury out of the body, and we did this, we were talking about that in the dental problem with people have. This is an inexpensive way to get mercury out of the body instead of using chelation, some of the other methods that tend to be much more severe on the body, and it's much more economical. So I have to say that that's important. Now, I want to mention another study really quick. I know we're almost finished here, but they were looking at people's weight, and they were finding that people that had a higher BMI, higher density of their body, okay, their salivary pH and the flow was low. So they have their saliva for some reason was not flowing as much, and the pH was more acidic. And so what they found in these patients is that they had more chances of having dental caries. So, and maybe it's the food that these people are eating. That's where I'm kind of coming down to it. If a person that's, you know, has a higher BMI, maybe they're not eating as many of the fruits and vegetables and fiber, and they're eating more processed food, and so they're, or more meat, and they're becoming more acidic. But it's, I think if we can appeal to the listeners that the detox is important, using the biogallium and the pH drops, but realizing that if you're gaining weight and your BMI is creeping up, that your pH itself might become a little more acidic, and you need to definitely do these things. It's not something that should sit on the back burner and say, well, you know, I'll think about it, or, you know, I'll get around to it one day. These are things you really should do today.
Yes, that's exactly it. I mean, I know from my friend, he said, as I was taking him to the hospital, he said, this is a big wake-up call for me. That, you know, at that point, we didn't even know. I actually took him to the hospital twice, and first on Saturday and then on Monday. On Saturday, it was just because he was in so much pain. He said, there has to be something really wrong with me. And he knew that he had to go to the hospital. He like packed a little bag expecting to be admitted, but they didn't admit him that day because he already had an MRI scheduled, and so we were going to like do the MRI. But once he got the MRI, it was like go straight to the hospital, and we did. And you know, it's like he's like now looking and saying, well, wait, what could I have done so that I wouldn't be now in this predicament? He's got things he still wants to do with his life, you know?
Well, most definitely. This is the thing. I mean, I personally, the way I see it, because I work in a hospital as a clinical pharmacist, and I've been doing that like 25 years. So I see a lot of things like that of this nature. And people coming in, and I read their history and physical because I'm doing their orders, and I'm checking their blood work, and, you know, we're working them up as a patient. And what I see is that, you know, you can't always predict the future. So there are people that are, you know, they're smoking a lot, and they're maybe drinking a lot of heavy, you know, hard liquor and things that aren't good for you. And they know it, and they end up with some issues. Okay, there's that pool of people. But there's a lot of people that have a pretty decent life lifestyle and work out and are pretty healthy, and it just, it's a luck of the draw. It really is. And the chemical load that you have in your body is a ticking time bomb. I cannot emphasize that enough. We come in contact with these things every day, and if we're not having a net removal out of the body on a continual basis, you're just waiting for your chance. And it's basically like going to the roulette tables and taking your chances, which to me, those chances aren't very good.
I totally agree with you with what you just said, because even like I have been living in a non-toxic home for 30 years and there's like really nothing in my home that has toxic chemicals in it. And yet I leave my house and then I'm in this world that has all these toxic things in it. And so things are coming into my body. Toxic chemicals are coming into my body and I need to remove them at the rate that they're coming in, or they're just going to accumulate. And that's the case for every single person on the planet right now. And so if you think that you do not need to detox, then what the likely outcome is that you're going to end up with some, you know, heart disease, cancer, one of these illnesses that is caused by toxic chemical exposure. And
well,
that's
definitely.
Just it. That's just the fact.
That's exactly right. Those are the facts. And really, today's talk was really about the facts, what the medical data is saying to us. But it's also saying to us that we know that the genes that turn on cancer are instigated by chemicals. So it's pretty obvious that we need to be removing these and not just kind of putting it on the back burner. And the best part about it is a lot of this stuff is just liquid, the little drops you put in the water.
No.
It's not time consuming.
It's not. No, and I take Body in You. I take Pamela's Body in You. I also take Pure Body Liquid Zeolite every day. Every day I take these. And I'm constantly telling people, here, take this. And they just kind of look at me like, why? No, I'm fine. But they're not fine. I mean, how many times have I offered these detox products to my friend who is now in the hospital with cancer?
No. No, that's absolutely right. And I can tell you, too, even if people have cancer and they're being treated with chemotherapy, the homeopathic medicines can work along with it. You can do both. And I actually have a lot of people doing both. But I would say that you need to look at your generalized risk and say, if you haven't been doing any kind of detox product, you need to do the Body anew, and you need to do maybe even put some biogallium in the water with the pH drops and just drink it through the day. Just bring it to work with you and just keep it on your desk. It's a pretty easy thing to do. I do it while I'm working out now. In the morning, because I've been doing it so long, I don't necessarily need to do it through the whole day. But taking these things out is really important, because you have to realize your liver does remove things through glucuronidation and conjugation, where it kind of changes the chemical and brings it out and it goes out in the urine. But that process is not 100%, and that's the problem. You might think, oh, well, I'm taking a liver supplement and I'm doing all these things. It's not going to make a whole bunch of difference, because the net amount that still stays behind and goes into your subcutaneous fat can be up to 25%, just depending on the individual. It's important to realize that even all the good intentions that you have, if you're not doing some kind of preventative process for removing these chemicals out, your increased risk of cancer is just really there. And I think it was important to kind of go over these, which cancers were affected by vegetable intake, which were affected by fruit, which were affected by fiber. And what it really means is that it's all over the board.
It is. And Pamela, we've only got a few seconds left, so thank you so much.
We'll be back
in 2 weeks from today, and Pamela and I are going to talk about cancer and what causes it and what you can do. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dowd. Be well.